Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Thursday morning, a dreary day throughout the Delaware Valley. But if you were afraid about snow, well, you didn't get that. You got rain and a lot of it still coming down. We'll see if it turns to snow later on. Hey, a lot to get to. Nick Sirianni on with Angelo earlier today. And, you know, that interview, our assessment of Sirianni's first season as the Eagles head coach. Of course, Joel Embiid, what can you say? And we'll say a lot. He was phenomenal last night. Absolutely phenomenal. We'll get to that. Flyers versus Columbus tonight. A lot to do. All with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, John.
Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television.
Wow.
And it was 1952, April 30th, 1952.
How about that?
Yeah. It was Mr. Potato Head was cool. I had a Mr. Potato Head when I was a little young child.
Young whippersnapper.
Yeah, but the popularity was aided by the fact that that's the first toy. Think about that. The first toy kids around the world ever saw on TV.
It's pretty wild, actually.
I want that.
It is. I'm actually chuckling in part because, reading my book on Mr. Rogers last night, and Mr. Rogers did not want and did not permit commercials in his show geared toward trying to advertise to kids. So they didn't have it. Sesame Street would have commercials geared to kids. Mr. Rogers wouldn't because he said that's not right to advertise to kids. So, I don't know. The guy had standards. All right, 215-592-9494.
Wow, that's tough on his higher up
on making
his bottom line, as they say. Yeah,
exactly. It was a noble. he had to convince PBS. No targeting kids. All right, let's get to it here. Sirianni. Well, first, let me just say this before we even get to Sirianni. Joel Embiid, and I welcome all phone calls on Embiid last night. 215-592-9494. This guy is one of the great players we have had. Forget modern sports Philadelphia history. One of the great players we had in Philly sports history. He is unbelievable. Now, we know, and he knows, you listened to him postgame last night, he knows that he and they got to get it done in the playoffs for him to enter a conversation of pantheons, NBA greats, and all that. Because until you get past the second round and really do something truly meaningful in the playoffs, your name just can't really be there. But what a player, guys. I mean, what a player. For those that missed it, 50 points from Embiid last night in less than 30 minutes. It was what we needed as Philadelphia sports fans, given that, you know, the Eagles eliminated, the Phillies, you know, have been 500, and we don't even know when they're going to play. The Flyers stink. I mean, they stink. So Embiid is rescuing this 76er season where there's still great relevancy. They're only 2.5 games out of the top spot in the East, and they've got a shot to make this a fun playoff run, you know, April, May, maybe June, we'll see. So the guy is unbelievable, and I welcome all phone calls on the greatness of Embiid at 215-592-9494. I do hope they don't waste his prime like the Sixers wasted Barkley's prime. That's a whole nother matter. All of it's on the table. All right, John, let's get to Sirianni. He was on with Angelo today. We will replay that interview in its entirety later on in our show. 12:45 today, if you missed it, 12:45. Sirianni and Angelo hear the entire interview. Covered a lot of ground. John, let's kind of get on the record where you are, where I am, where everyone is, 215-592-9494, on Sirianni after year one with the Eagles. John, here's where I stand. I am skeptical about Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach. Frankly, I actually don't know if the Eagles have a good coach, a bad coach, or an average coach, which is kind of weird to say after a whole season. But I'm just not really sure. I know this. There was more that I was discouraged by with Sirianni than encouraged by. And that's despite the fact that they made the playoffs with
I don't know how you can say that.
You know, there was just some things that just really bugged me, John. Really bugged me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was bugged by a lot that I saw, too. But when you weigh out the grand scheme of things, Nick Sirianni overcame crazy odds, an incomplete roster, you know, substandard play from almost every offensive skill position, from, you know, with very consistent from the wide receiver position, sometimes inconsistent from the quarterback spot. He put this team of, you know, medium talent guys in position to win a lot of games. And remember, like, that's after reversing out of the initial plan.
Yes, it was.
Like, he completely reversed out, showed some real chutzpah and bravery. I don't know if I used chutzpah right there. it felt like the right word. I have no idea if that was right. Completely 180 your initial plan after six or seven games. You don't see coaches doing that. I think I give him a lot of credit. That is putting yourself in target bullseye territory.
Sure.
And it worked. It worked. The one thing you could say he had to work into his advantage was a great offensive line. But as an offensive play caller, first time offensive play caller, he was able to do some pretty nice things, put his guys in optimal positions. I'm not saying, you know, he's the cat's meow yet.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm saying, like, with what he had to work with, making the postseason, like, I too am somewhat confused.
Yep.
Because I don't know how much to weigh that horrendous schedule against what seemed to be really positive qualities coming from Nick.
Yeah, I get it.
That makes it tough. But I'll tell you, the bond, when we listen to the press conference yesterday with both him and Howie Roseman up there on the podium, the bond that he displays, it's very clear to me, and I think probably a lot of people, that he is a lot more sold on Jalen Hurts than Howie Roseman is. I think that bond will matter. I'm excited about that bond. I saw a similar bond when I was here and Andy Reid was the coach and Donovan McNabb was his quarterback.
Right.
That's indispensable. That's two guys who really believe in one another and are going to work together, you know, cooperative coaching and playing.
But what did that get the Eagles 5 days ago in a playoff game? Got them squat-ta. Got them blown
okay.
out. Got them blown out.
You're right.
You know,
they did not have much of a chance in that game.
Well,
and I'm saying it's not entirely on the poor play calling from Nick Sirianni. Like, I think he knows what he has in his quarterback, really loves what lies on the horizon, but acknowledges and knows he's not quite ready to take on a challenge as big as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I mean, the Eagles clearly were deficient compared to Tampa Bay, and that is so overwhelmingly obvious, especially after watching the game. Look, opportunity for everyone
think
to jump
about
in.
That, think about that game.
First-year
coach.
I have many times.
First-year coach.
Yes.
A 23-year-old under center.
I know.
Against the GOAT.
I know.
And Bruce Arians, who's been there and done that a million times.
Defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, who got a lot of their, you know, injured players back and all that. Look, 215-592-9494.
He gave us something we could be proud of.
Well, okay, let me say this. Everyone can weigh in on Sirianni. After year one, you are where with Nick? I mean, what do you think of this guy? Good coach? Bad coach? Hard to tell? I mean, hard to tell, I think, is the most basic answer. But, you know, and that's why I say skeptical. I mean, I'm not really sure. But I'll tell you this, John.
You can't say
I'll tell you why I am more discouraged than encouraged. And by the way, let me be clear.
I'm surprised at
Let me be clear. I like the guy a lot. Like the guy, the
yes.
dude, What a guy.
He's like impossible to not like.
I want to hang out with Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
Yo, Nick, if you're free sometime in the off season, let's have a beer together. Yeah.
Well, after today, he might not want to hang out with you,
well,
Jeff.
Well, he might not, but he's open-minded. So I'd say, hey, Nick, come on over, and I'll tell you what you did wrong. You'd be a better coach. I mean, I am here to, after all, help the Philadelphia sports scene. I'm just trying to make these teams and players and coaches better. Look, good guy, obviously. Totally rootable, obviously. Things I was encouraged by, John. Encouraged. Making the playoffs with less than a stellar roster is impressive. Yes, it was aided by a not great schedule, but, you know, that was impressive. He made the playoffs. A lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. That was good. Second half of the season improvement. Hey, look, all you can do is take the guys you have and try to make them better. And the team did get better as the season went on. Now, again, funky because back half of the schedule easy, so it's hard to read too much into it, but they improved, and that's good. Commitment to run, that was great. There were people that said, like, Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie will not permit a running team to exist under their watch. Well, right. it happened.
And that takes some strength. That takes some commitment on Nick's part. I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
But the problem is he didn't know that was the plan until week 8.
Correct.
Or whatever
I'll get to that in a second. Another thing I was encouraged by, the offense did, despite not having great talent, they did score a lot. I mean, they actually moved. Now, again, you can say, but it was against bad defenses. Probably true. But they actually did tally some pretty good, you know, yardage and scoring through the year. And I thought the players, for the most part, really seemed to play hard. They seemed to buy into him. They seemed to like and respect him.
That has to matter a lot.
That does.
The players love Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
The players defend Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
When he said one of the dumbest, you know, analogies to, you know, the media with the flower.
Yep.
And you just water it and it pops out of there. Like, that was horrendous.
Yeah.
And the guys rallied behind
they
that.
They did. They
Think
had his
about
back.
That.
They had his back. But let me tell you the things that I was discouraged by with Sirianni. And again, everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Let's start with the start. And I'm not talking about the press conference a year ago. It doesn't matter anymore. The start of the season. Let's talk. And I'm not saying just the Falcons game. I mean the first handful of games, the first half of the season. He had a clear lack of understanding of his team to start the season. What they would do good, what they would not do good. I guess it was from a lack of understanding from training camp and the preseason that they basically punted away. And so games that were winnable early, San Fran, I mean, the Chiefs, it's hard to win, but if they had done some things different, maybe they could have won when KC was vulnerable. I mean, he just did not understand early in the year, we have to be a running team. My quarterback
and
is...
And I struggle with that all the time.
I mean, he didn't understand...
Why the delay?
Yes!
Why did it take you more than a third of the year to know what this team was?
Yes.
And I do put that on Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Don't question that.
I know you do.
I also put that on the front office that said, hey, you know what? We don't play in the preseason anymore.
I mean...
We don't even practice in the preseason. We're going to protect these guys come hell or high water.
Yeah.
Because that's what gives us the best chance.
Now, look,
Nick never had the opportunity to learn what he had to work with.
I know. And look, you can make the case not playing the guys much in the beginning actually kept him healthier for the end. The Eagles were very healthy this year. Maybe it worked. But he still should have known.
I know that wasn't Nick's choice.
He still should have known.
I guarantee you that's not the coaching staff's choice to say, hey, you know what? We don't need to practice.
Yeah.
He wanted to evaluate these players. He was never permitted to do that until regular season games.
All right, what else am I discouraged by? His team never beat a good team. The only sort of even average team they beat was Denver.
The Saints.
The Saints, but they had nothing.
Saints were
day.
Better than Denver.
I guess.
They were 9-8. They almost made the playoffs.
Okay, but hold on. But the Saints were with their third string
exactly.
quarterback.
That's what I mean.
And still
without,
better than Denver.
But they were with.
I don't know about
but
that.
But they were. Hold
Not
on.
That day.
I think they might be better than Denver when they've got Alvin Kamara.
I mean, you were the one saying Trevor Siemian's great going in that game. I mean, let's not get carried away here.
I thought he knew what he was looking at.
Can we all agree the Eagles did not beat a good team?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. No,
I agree. I'm just saying Saints. I was saying Saints are better than Broncos.
So didn't beat.
Okay, but it's Saints with Kamara are better than Broncos.
Didn't beat a good team. Other things discouraged by. I thought Sirianni's management, what I would call mismanagement of Jonathan Gannon, was really alarming. The head coach's job is to coach the players. The head coach's job is also to coach the other coaches. And I thought Jonathan Gannon had, like, free reign to do ridiculousness with the defense. And every time the Eagles would face a good quarterback, it didn't work. Now you can say, well, he had less talent, and that's true. But, I mean, my God, can the head coach please tell the defensive coordinator to do something different? So that drove me nuts. I thought it was remarkable.
I don't understand that. What you just said there.
Yep.
Tell the defensive coordinator to do something different.
Yes.
That's a little bit vague.
John, it's his
tell
job.
Him to do something.
He's the head coach.
No, don't you agree that Nick, being the offensive guy, seems to have handed that defensive side of the ball off to Jonathan Gannon?
Yeah, of course
he didn't realize Jonathan Gannon was going to be such a dud for the majority of the season.
First off, he hired him.
Do anything that's brave.
But let's remember
that's
this.
A problem.
Guys, Sirianni hired Gannon. That's not a Lurie or Roseman hire. Sirianni was his buddy from Indianapolis. He hired him. Mm-hmm. I'm not enthralled with the Gannon thing. So, to me, that's a mark against Sirianni. So, too, and you would talk about mismanagement, his continuous play of Reagor, both as a wide receiver and a punt return, was a disgrace. It was obvious halfway through the year, earlier, but let's just go halfway, that Reagor doesn't have
it. This is one of those things. It's like you're going to blame Nick.
I am going to blame Nick.
For something that I believe is coming up from above.
You know what? You got to have big, you know what, man. You got to go up to Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and saying, guys, I'm trying to win games. I can't play this guy. He's not good enough.
All right, let's take it in steps. Like, he did that with the running game. He did that with the running game.
I know he did.
I think it's more difficult to say, hey, GM, your guy that you brought in here, I'm not going to use him. Your first-round pick from 2020, forget it. I can't put him out there. Like, that's a tough sell.
I get it. Look, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, where everyone stands on Sirianni. One final thing. The final other discouragement is just the way the whole thing ended. They not only get crushed by Tampa, but Sirianni was, like, inept in making adjustments early in the game to help the offense with some simple things based on what Tampa was doing to them defensively. I just thought it was unbelievable. Big picture, I'll say this. I like the dude. He had some good moments this year. The team played hard. But I need, and I think we all should need, Sirianni to get a lot better for this team to go where we hope to go. Because honestly, I don't think he was good enough. I'm not calling for him to be fired. I'm just telling you, I don't think he was good enough.
Look, all the blame you put on him, I put a majority of that on Howie Roseman. If he would have had better players to work with, it would have looked better.
All right, after year one of Sirianni, where do you stand? Where do we stand with Sirianni as the Eagles head coach? Let's kick it off with John and Manny Young. What's up, John?
What up, Savant?
Hey, buddy.
Always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I didn't call yesterday because I wanted to hear everyone's thought. And to be honest with you, I'm just more stunned that everybody kind of fell for that fourth quarter mirage. Because for the first three, listen, I exaggerate, okay? I tend to use hyperbole to make stories better, okay? I don't need to exaggerate when I say that first two, three quarters of football was some of the worst football offensively I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was really bad.
That was like Mark Sanchez butt fumble, like chaos in the backfield a couple times, where it looked like we weren't even on the same page.
Yeah, it was. And they had 14 days to prepare for that team.
Correct.
They basically knew there was really good chance they were going to play Tampa. I doubt the coaches were doing much on Dallas Week 18. They had 14 days to prepare for Tampa, and that's what they came out
with. Tampa is just way superior.
It could be that simple, but it was the lack of adjustments was really alarming.
What are you talking about? Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, there was a point in the game where our botched punt had more yardage than our offensive movement. And on top of that, to your point, though, about adjustments, like, I'm sorry. Like, they just, like, to your point about, you know, maybe they're a better team, half the Bucs were hurt. That's the other part that no one's talking about.
Well, it wasn't.
They were down four players, and they lost two or three players during the game. So they weren't a shell of what they could have been,
they
and they still took us out
to
dead and beat us and beat us to death. Now, here's something I was talking about with Sirianni. I think the guy clearly can't public speak, so people think he's a dope because
he's gotten better at it, though, John.
He's gotten better, but I think I bet he's a really smart football guy. The guys clearly like him and the players, so I just think he's just not good at regurgitating. And I'm not going to fall for that again because, remember, everybody called Doug Peterson a moron when he couldn't put the headset on and he kind of said some stupid stuff at first. And, you know, he ended up winning us the only chip. So I don't want to call the guy out too hard.
Yep.
But I just think it's clear that we're just not very good. I don't think it's Sirianni or Hurts. I think they're both just down the road, middle of the pack guys. I think they both can improve. They both have higher ceilings. But what I saw on that game, like that was like, to me, that game was the poster board argument for why that whole, just get the playoffs and see what happens is stupid.
All right.
Because no, we had no business We had no business being in the playoffs. We had no business playing that team.
All right,
and I think
Sean.
We would have.
We got you, man. We got you. Appreciate the call.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I know that last
was
point
inappropriate.
With you. Yeah.
That was inappropriate. That game itself, the discrepancy in talent on that field.
I don't know why you sign off and then saying let's have a seventh seed to make the playoffs. I mean, to me, it's incongruent. You want the seventh seed to make it
because
you,
I think more playoffs.
Yeah, but that aside from
I
the
love
Eagles,
the excitement.
That was
playoff
nonsense,
game.
Man. The Steelers versus Chiefs was nonsense. That's garbage. Seventh seed in the playoffs.
Look,
have a certain.
I'm ticked if I'm the two seed and I have to play.
There's that
but
factor too.
I'm not the two seed. I don't have to play. I get to watch it, so I'm cool with it.
You know, it's only a matter of time. I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, till they let 8 teams in the playoffs. And then the second seed gets a bye again. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
18-week season it's or 18-game season. You know, yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you got the NBA expanded their playoffs, but they won't even tell you they expanded the playoffs. They call it a play-in tournament. Oh, okay, a play-in tournament. Let's go to Chiro. Chiro, you're on WIP.
Hold on, guys. I had to take you off speaker for a second.
Hey, buddy. How are you, Chiro?
You know, I wasn't doing too bad this morning. I woke up. I was like, you know what? Today could be a good day. And then I heard Nick Sirianni's interview with Angelo Cattati. What the hell is he talking about when he says that the problem with Rager is he was getting all these touches in college and high school. He's not getting as many touches in the pros. It looks like we're force-feeding this man. And you're trying to sell us on the reason he's not doing as good is because he's not as involved? It seemed like you tried to implant him in the offense more than Devontae Smith. They better not bring Jalen Rager back. I mean, I'm not trying to kill the guy. I know he's a young kid.
Yep.
It's not his fault he was drafted that high. But you need to cut your losses and move forward. I don't want
Chiro, here's the only thing I'll tell you, man. Listen, Rager could be back. There's no doubt he could be back. But I will say this. I vividly remember when the Eagles lost to Carolina, John's team 03. They lose that game January of 04. I remember sitting right in the front row to the left, Andy Reid's press conference the day after that game. And he gave an answer about James Thrash and Todd Pinkston about how they can win with those guys. And I said to myself, listening to him, there's no way he actually believes that. He's just saying that. And sure enough, they kept Pinkston, but they got rid of Thrash. They brought in T.O. I say that to say this, Chiro. You got to take some of these words by coaches and GMs after a season before they've made the moves they're going to make somewhat with a grain of salt. He's covering for a player that he knows is inadequate.
I hope you're right. And last thing I want to say is Daryl Morey, TikTok, get this man JoJo some damn help, please.
Dude, I agree with you, man. I mean, John, if you're Embiid, I mean, you got like a boulder on your back. I mean, first
he's Sisyphus.
I mean, right, exactly.
To throw it back, right?
Well, he's supposed to
he's
try
pushing
to get
the boulder up
back.
The hill, and he's got no help, and he can't keep rolling down.
He's pushing the boulder up the hill with a boulder on his back. I mean, look, they get booed off the court at halftime last night because they're down to a horrible team. Mm-hmm. They only win basically because of him. I mean, all the time. I mean, he is so unbelievable, and the lack of help that he gets is so astounding. And you guys know my fear. It could be a Barkley scenario all over again. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Joel stays, and I hope they put the right pieces around him. But my God, and I'm not trying to dwell negative here. I say this to say this dude's amazing. I mean, this guy is the best player in Philly sports.
Amazing, and more amazing this week than he was last week. Like it's growing game by game.
Yeah, he's
excellent.
He's gotten back into last year's.
I've never seen anything like this.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
It really is. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. All right, Sirianni after year one, where you stand with him as the Eagles head coach? Think he's the right one? Not sure. I mean, where do you stand on that? And Embiid, the greatness, the whole deal.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
We have to take a break, but I thought it was crazy. Getting back to that Jalen Rager, the quote that he had about Jalen Rager just doesn't get the touches like he did in college. You realize, like, his last season in college, everyone was saying, when they drafted him, I'm saying, why did he only have 43 catches for 611 yards?
Yep.
He had 43 catches for 611 yards. His last year at TCU, he wasn't getting the ball there either because he's not good.
Yeah, it's
that's the problem, Nick. But Nick can't say that.
Can't
so
say
I guess
it.
He tried to invent a reason.
But I will say he goes annoyingly overboard in his.
He does.
In his, I don't want to say something negative. Praise.
He does.
I mean, it's like Nick, slow that roll down, dude. You don't have to go there. Because then you do sound like a buffoon.
I hope he reevaluates the way he approaches this. And if the guy is unworthy, you can say that. Like, he's trying to be everyone's friend still.
Yeah.
And it's time to start getting tough with some of these
guys. Because you also got to be real to fans. And you got to be tough with the players. I agree. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!